evangel, and I give you a gift for bringing the good news. And I thought that was interesting. And then this morning, Josh is talking to me, and he's talking about 1 Corinthians 3, and that we will be, our works will be judged. And I thought, you know, there's a reward for doing that, which is right. Anyway, that's just an interesting note. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, days of Elijah. Thank you. This is Jesus said regarding John the Baptist, this is Elijah, if you will receive him. Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before the Lord. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those of Jerusalem went out to him and were being baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sin. John was clothed with camel hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, there comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and loosen. I will baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately, coming up from the water, he saw the heavens part and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice then came from heaven saying, you are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Verse 12. Immediately the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness. And Dr. Hayford has a note. The word drove does not imply resistance on the part of Jesus, but rather emphasizes the conviction the Holy Spirit gave him of the necessity of the experience. And the devotional this morning, as we start the new year, is reviewing my expectations. What are my expectations for the new year? And when I read this morning as just part of my reading, I was really impressed with the Lord to say, here's my desire for you, is I desire to drive you into new situations of spiritual maturity and growth. Not a matter of I'm resistant, but a matter of the intensity of the Holy Spirit, because I believe, Mark was talking about that this would be a year of healing and there'd be some, you know, some things that would go back to normal. I'm looking for the return of the Lord. My new normal isn't here. My new normal is glory. And I believe that one of the things the Lord wants to impress for me in my life is that I would enter into new dimensions of spiritual awareness and insight, not new to not in addition to this book, not new in that way, but new to my own understanding. That there are things that are written here that we don't always get. Certainly I don't. But the Lord wants to bring me to that place. Amen? So that's part of the theme for this morning. As I was reflecting on the past year and meditating on the coming year, this is in the outline, 2022, and what it might hold, two songs came to mind. First was Doris Day's song, Whatever will be, the future's not ours to see, you know, my young daughter, will she be married, will she be happy, will she have kids, you know, and say, shalom, shalom, you know, it's so hopeless, it's fatalistic, it's just, you know, whatever will be, you know, can I tell you something, that's not the case. Jesus has a plan and a purpose, and I can either walk contrary to it or I can walk with it. And his plans are better than my plans. My ways are not his ways. My thoughts are not his thoughts. God has got something in store for me. And I really believe he wants to drive me towards greater depth of spiritual life and understanding. The second song was the hymn by F. Stanfield, written in 1950. And I thought that was really cool because that was the year I was born. Entitled, I Know Who Holds Tomorrow. And that was the pre-service song that we played. I don't know what it's going to bring, but he does, and he holds my hand. He walks with me, And he's going to lead me and drive me into places of greater love and perception and awareness than I've experienced before. That's my expectation for this coming year. You know? It's been a good walk with the Lord. But I'm looking for better. That's my expectation. The second song is not fatalistic, but faith-filled because of a personal relationship with the author of life who loves us and abides with us. And as I was reflecting on that this morning, even while I was driving in this morning, you know, I have expectations for this morning for myself, because I don't come to preach to you. I come to preach to myself, and I just let you listen. The reality is this, is that Jesus Christ, the good news, the gospel, is that he died for you and I. He rose from the dead, and he lives again, and he lives in us. You know? I thought I knew where I was going to go in a series of messages starting next week, but I'm going to interrupt it by doing an introduction. And I was journaling the other day, this journal I'm using for life verses that have impacted my life. So December 30th, I wrote Colossians 1:27. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus is here this morning, not because there's something special about this building. Jesus is here this morning because there's something special about you. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And he came in when you came in. He's here. And I have an expectation in my soul that God wants to touch each and every one of us. You know? And I wrote in the journal, the only true hope in my life is the reality of Jesus Christ in me. That's the bottom line. He is the sole source of my forgiveness and my salvation. He is my only current hope for a walk of freedom and joy. He is my only hope for tomorrow and eternity. So I'm going to take that portion and another portion and do an introduction to a series that we're going to begin of just walking the walk of faith. And we're going to be looking at the journey of Israel coming through the wilderness and how that ties in my mind with what I read in Mark, that the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Israel was taken into the wilderness. You know, I don't know what their expectation was. They probably thought, we're going to get to the promised land as quick as we can. But you'll notice in Exodus, it says he did not take them the short way. He did not take them the highway because there was war. Lest they be troubled in their spirit and be fearful and turn back. So he took them into the wilderness. If you feel like you're in a wilderness, hallelujah! That's where we learn the most. You know? So part of my expectation for this coming year is summed up in that, the reality that Christ lives in you and I. And he wants to make himself more personal and more known to us. So with that, we go to Acts chapter 3. Verses 1 to 26. We're going to look at this and do a quick overview, and then we're going to go to Matthew 11. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from his birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. So what was his expectation? Alms. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. He declares his expectation. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, look at us. And he's probably thinking, great, they're going to give me something. You know? A few shekels, who knows? and he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. What is your expectation for this coming year? And I had to review mine and review it in light of this portion of Scripture. Now, I want to interrupt the reading for just a second here. It's not a red herring. It's relevant to the point. How often did Jesus go to the temple? Well, at least three times that we know of. More frequently than that. But he was there for three passages. So this guy was carried there every day of his life. Jesus walked by him. Hello? And now Peter and John are going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, and this guy's still lame. Are you getting my point? Jesus had walked by him. There's a time in our life where God desires to meet us in a new and dynamic way. That's my expectation for this coming year. He's expecting not a divine encounter. He's expecting alms, money. Verse 6, and Peter said, oh, what a disappointment. Remember, silver and gold have I none. There goes my expectation. Why do you want me to look at you? Silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That wasn't his expectation. And then later, walking and leaping and praising God. We used to sing that as a song in Sunday school all the time with the kids, you know. And it was easier then than now, you know, than walking and leaping. I got both feet off the ground. You know. You know, and I've heard some Christians say, you know, I don't like certain groups of Christians, these charismatics and these Pentecostals. They get so excited. Listen, if you aren't excited, what have you gotten lately? If you've been lame all your life, and you're hoping for some money and you didn't get none, but you got to stand up and walk and leap for the first time in your life, you'd be excited too. You know, there should be some emotion in my life. You know, if I'm emotionally dead, it's because maybe nothing in my life has happened. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder. I wonder why. And amazed at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter, he wasn't going to let them go. You know? He just received something really dynamic, beyond his expectation, and he's hanging with them. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by his own power or piety we have made him walk?" Verse 13, "The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. And you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." Jesus Christ is present with us here today. He's risen from the dead, and he's in you. He's with you. And listen, his will and his purposes go beyond your expectations. Helen made reference to a verse a couple of weeks ago in Ephesians 3 and 20. "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think." Listen, God's got a purpose. He's got a plan for you. He's got a desire for you. He's got expectations for you. And he wants to drive you into a deeper relationship with him. Not that you're resistant, but that there's a sense of purpose and urgency in the Holy Spirit moving in your life. Hello? This is important, you know. Get this. This is critical. When we pray for people here, it's not our prayer that does something. It's God Almighty that does something. You know? He says, by his name, by faith in his name, he has made this strong whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you act in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of the prophets, that this Christ would suffer and be thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come to the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. That's my expectation, that God's going to leave me. And there's going to be points in my life that I need to repent of. Points of disobedience, points of lack of faith, various issues in my life. But God wants to meet me. New and fresh, beyond anything I've ever had before, beyond what I could ever imagine. Verse 20, the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, that he may send the Christ appointed to you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time of the restoring of all things, by which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets long ago. Listen, it was by faith in this name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If I'm putting my trust in anything other than him, I have misdirected faith. So, 3 and 6. This was in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. There's power in that name. And my expectation that is in this coming year, God wants me to become more enthralled and enamored and personally owned by the name of Jesus Christ. Notice the lame man's reaction, you know. Yeah, he must have been disappointed at first. And I'm sure he had to wonder, you know, the name of Jesus, that guy walked by me several times. And maybe you feel like Jesus has walked by you a number of times and hasn't touched you. There's an appointed time. That's one of my points. And I'm believing. I was talking to my son last night on the phone, and I said, listen, in Luke it says, he quotes Isaiah, and he says, this is the year of the Lord's favor. As believers, we are in the year of the Lord's favor. Judgment is coming. The bema seat of Christ is coming, the judgment of our works, the great white throne judgment is coming. But in the meantime, you and I walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in the year of the Lord's blessing. His favor. And I'm praying for increased favor for all of us. But it's contingent upon me entering in to a deeper relationship with him. You know, if I choose to go wandering off and doing my own thing, I'm going to miss what God wants to do. You know, I shared something with Josh this morning in the study Bible I'm reading through. A note that I had made some years ago, quoting Oswald Chambers, where he talks about Jesus is asked, you know, is it right for us to pay taxes? How many have ever wondered that? I remember back in September, I got a note from the government saying you need to pay X number of dollars. So I'm like, I already paid this. And I checked. Yeah, I did. Yeah. And then I realized they were wanting me to prepay for this year based on what I owed last year, in addition to what had already been taken off. Because we got a smart accountant. Lynn makes more money than I do. So she gets all the deductions because she's at a higher income tax rate. And I end up with very little, and then I end up owing money, which is still way less than what she would have owed if we did it the other way around. Are you tracking with me? So so they said, you need to pay this amount. They wanted me to prepay for this year, and I hadn't finished earning for 2021 yet, and they wanted money out of me. And I'm thinking, no way. Their expectation was wrong. Yeah? And, as I'm reading that verse, it says, give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. You know? That was you the other night. Somebody wanted to pay their subscription, and they gave you the money, and you looked at them, and they said, what about Justin? And I thought, what's my son-in-law got to do with this? And she says, the Prime Minister, Trudeau. So Tim had to ante up some more money. Give unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. And then it says, give unto God that which is God's. That's his expectation of me. He wants me to give unto him what is his, which is all of my life. And there's an interesting note by Oswald Chambers. He says, spiritual understanding doesn't come through intellect. Remember? It comes through, do you remember? Obedience. Am I being obedient to the Lord? That's his expectation of me. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. John 14:21. If I'm not walking with him, if I'm doing my own thing, can I expect more from him? No, because I'm not walking with him. The lame man clung to Peter and John. He viewed them as the source, and they said, no, not us, not by your piety, but through this name and faith in this name, the Lord Jesus Christ, he has received this fullness and wholeness of health. Okay? And he says, you need to repent and come. John, there's things in your life that are holding you back. You need to repent and come to me. Okay, next reading. Go back to the book of Matthew, the first gospel, 11:25-30. I really like that. You know, there's things in my life I've waited for. You know, I understood that Jesus wanted to give me, and they haven't happened yet. You know? And I identify with that lame man. But can I tell you this? The promises of God are sure. You know, every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. If God's making a promise, he'll do it. My problem is I want to tell him when. You know? But he determines that. But it'll always be on time. 11:25-30. At that time, Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to the little children. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to you by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the, this is powerful. And no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. You've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ because Jesus revealed it to you. We can't even boast about, you know, I believed because he revealed it to us. Yeah? Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That's salvation. That's automatic. Just come to him, and you will get rest for your soul. The next one is conditional. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest. One is an automatic gift of salvation. I have rest for my soul. I'm not fearful of tomorrow. I'm not fearful of death. So I misspoke. I am fearful of tomorrow, but I'm not fearful of death. You know? Because I know I'm secure there. I don't know what tomorrow holds. You know? I was really emotionally bent New Year's Eve when Kim phones and she's all rattled and she's got water coming and that rat ate a hole through her plastic pipe. You know? That's my little girl. She got water, and the water shut off, and, you know, we need water. And the kid was a wreck, you know. She's so much like her dad, it's frightening. You know. Thank God. Yeah. I always say to people, my kids got their good looks from me because I got none left. Lynn still got all hers. Yeah. Boy, how I wanted to help her, but I couldn't, you know. The plumber came over and from next door, and 20 minutes later, it was fixed. Now just kill the rat. Yeah. There are things in our life that erode and disturb and corrupt And we have to give that to Jesus. Amen? And as you do, you will find rest. I stayed up to about 10 to 2, just trying to get my spirit relaxed and calm. After, you know, I'm pilgrim. You know, I carry that burden, and I get to the cross, I lay it at the cross, I spend some time at the cross, and then before I leave, I pick it up and carry it again. You know? And I like to think of myself as a person of faith until it comes to certain things. You know, I trust God, but can I trust God with my son and my daughters? You know, my friends and my congregation, you know? Somehow, you know, I don't know about you, Bob, but don't we see that as men, that's our responsibility, we got to do it, you know? But you need to come to Jesus and get yoked with him. That's my expectation for this coming year, is that I believe that God wants to bring me into closer yoking with him. But that means I have to saddle up to him. You know, it isn't, I will come to you. He says, you come to me. I have that relationship. Now, engage in it. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Almighty God knew your response to the gospel. He invited you in. The invitation is to all, but not all people receive it. You know, Hebrews 11, 1 to 6, is, you know, he says, not all men have faith. You know, and without faith it is impossible to please God. You know, I have to direct my faith. You know, I like, this is a terrible confession perhaps, but there's a point to it. It's an illustration. When I come into Wolseley, I speed up to get ahead of the semis. You know, I've passed them sometimes, but they're behind me. And I don't always trust them to get over. I want to get far enough ahead of them when I slow down and I go to make my turn that they're still two blocks behind me. Hello? You know, I watch people. They'll pass a semi, and then a quarter of a mile later, they're hitting the brakes and putting on the signal light, and the semi, you can see it trying to slow. You know, I don't want to put God to the test. I want to govern my walk in a way that I'm honoring him. I tempt not the Lord my God, and I invite him in, and that he makes provision. I want to have faith in him, not the 60,000 pounds coming up behind me on my bumper. Matthew 11:28 is a promise of rest from our own efforts to merit anything from God. He will give us rest when we come to him. But now I need to learn to find rest. We're instructed to take the yoke. The yoke harnesses our efforts, resulting in productivity. When I get yoked to Jesus Christ, he's doing a work. He wants to reach the lost, and he wants to use you and I. We get yoked to him. Things take place. 11:29 and 30, the promise. Laboring with Jesus results in divine rest. Reflections on my own calling. This takes me into the new year, and this takes us to communion. Ephesians 1:3-6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, not will, has. He's already done this. I need to get yoked with him and have the expectation that as I walk with him, he's going to meet my every need. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. Amen? You know, Philippians 4. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added. But the primary goal is to get into a deeper relationship with Christ. And then these things are added. And I spend a lot of time working for those things. And he says, you need to seek me and I'll add them. You know? And here it is years later. We're in a better position than we've been in our lives. The diligence of seeking God is paying off now. You know, it's really cool when you're able to say to your daughter, and she's in a panic because there's water going, listen, if you get a big bill from the plumber, let us know. We can send you some money. Oh, really? You know? But what I'm trying to say to you is, listen, you seek God. He will add. He will add. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us, past tense, in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love he predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. That's who I am. That's who you are if you've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to draw into that. Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And when we do that, there's a blessing that flows out. When you give yourself to Christ, whether it's finances or your own self, listen, you're not defrauding yourself. You know, we got this notion that if I give you the bigger piece of the pie, I end up with less. You know, my brother and I used to fight over that, you know. You know, okay, I'll cut the pie. Okay, if you're going to cut the pie, you let me choose first. You know, then you get the protractor and the compass out, and you know. Here's the good news with Jesus Christ. If you share from your pie, Jesus says, don't worry about it, I got more pies. You know? Philippians 4. I'm trying to think how that verse starts now. There's a verse in Philippians, and he says, I should look it up. He's got a full supply. You know? That's going to bother me now. Hurry up, Pastor, so we have communion. We got snacks in the back. No, keep going. Hey? Yeah, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He's got more pie, you know? You know, I'm mixing it up with I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Look at that. Read it in context. I can't jump off the roof of this building and fly. I can do all things through Christ. I've heard Christians say, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. No, you're taking it out of context. The context was, he says, I've learned to abound, and I've learned to go without. I've learned to be abased. And I've learned in that I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Why? Because he will supply our every need. You know, that'd be like me getting up here and saying, okay, I'm going to lead the singing this morning because I believe I can sing on key today. Why are you, gee, whoa, bazinga. Yeah. Hello, are you with me? You know, listen, God's got a work for you that only you can do because he prepared it for you. We're his workmanship. And as we get connected to him, we get yoked to him, we're able to do it. And then there's a blessing that gets added. Ephesians 5:1. This is one of my favorite short little verses. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. I remember we were renting an apartment in Weyburn, and Cheryl was quite young. And she would go to, they had a fireplace with one of these electric, you know, and she'd peel the bark off the fake log, you know, and Lynn couldn't get it through her head. So finally she got this bright idea. She took Cheryl's favorite doll and stuck it into the thing and then pulled it out and said, no, don't touch. No, don't touch. The next day, Cheryl's pulling the doll out. No, don't touch. And she didn't touch anymore, you know. Be imitators of God as dear children. That's God's expectation for me for this coming year, that I would be more of a nature to imitate him than imitate the world. You know? 5:32. The mystery is profound, and I'm saying that it refers to Christ and the church. I'm in a marriage relationship, not just with Lynn, but with the Lord Jesus Christ. And is that really my deepest love affair? And that's the expectation he has for me for this coming year. that I'd be more in love with him this year than I have been in any other year of my life, that the love would grow. Matthew 6:33-34, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added. And then there's that promise in Ephesians 3:20. Now, as we walk with him, as we seek him, listen, whatever your expectation from God for this year is, let me say this in conclusion. Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that you can ask or think or imagine, according to the power that works in you. And the power that is in you is not your faith, it's not your obedience, it's not your intellect. The power that works in you is the resurrected Christ. We need, as believers, to have an expectation that God is going to drive us deeper into him. Not because we're resistant, but because we're coming to the end times and there's an urgency of the Holy Spirit wanting to bring us deeper into him. Amen? And on that note, let's receive communion, and then I'll invite Josh up for the closing hymn. You know, all this is made available through the cross of Calvary. You know, and I'm not sure how accurate this is, but yesterday I finished reading through Matthew, and Dr. Hayford makes a note there where he says, you know, who will betray me? He says, the one who will take from the dish after me. And I'd always understood that as being the communion cup. But he's looking at it. He's looking at it. It's the meal. And the bowl's being passed down. It's like a bowl of soup that's being passed down. And he made an observation. And I'm not saying this is accurate or not. I'm just saying it was his observation. It may be right. I had never, ever viewed it that way. 40 years of being a Christian, I never viewed it this way before. He understands that as Judas shared in the meal and then was sent to do a task. And then the cup of the new covenant was given. Judas wasn't there for it. And I thought, could be. Could be. This is for believers. This is not for betrayers. 1 Corinthians 11, he says, you need to examine yourself before you take the emblems. He says, some have received the emblems in an unworthy manner, and they eat and they drink judgment unto themselves. And that's why there's many sick and some are even dead among you. John, are you responding to the expectations I, the Lord Jesus Christ, have for you? Are you responding to that? This morning, this was to me. This was my message to me. I just let you listen. What are my expectations for this coming year? Simple. The things I felt Jesus should have been giving to me that I haven't received, they're going to happen. The lame man at the pool. God wants to, but it's in his timing. Hello? That I need to be yoked to him more tightly than I ever have before in my life. And that I need to acknowledge that I am called by God, not as a pastor or a teaching elder, but I'm called by him to be an adopted son of the living God. And that there's a work that is prepared beforehand that I should walk in it. And I'm to be his imitator. And that he will bless. And seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things will be. That's his expectations for me. And John, are you willing to saddle up to that? And if I'm not willing to, then I better consider how I'm eating this. Because I'm the bread of life. Broken for you. Take, eat, and let's eat together. Trying really hard not to get this on my new tie. Here we go. He says, this is the cup of the new covenant. What's a covenant? It's more than just a promise. You get into Hebrews, and he says, he relates it to being a last will and testament. And before the testament, Dave, a few months back, helped us lay out our will. But the kids don't get anything until I die. Too bad for them. A will is only valid at the death of the testator. We talked about how sometimes wills are contested. Jesus is making sure that that doesn't happen because he, the testator, rose from the dead to execute his own will. Isn't that wild? So this is more than just a promise. This is the testator leaves something to you and then he rises from the dead to ensure that you get it. That's wild. He says, take it, drink it, let's drink together. Josh. Actually, I like Joshua better because Joshua fit the Battle of Jericho.